Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. How do you begin to describe that? I'd like to begin this morning with the reading of a passage from the Psalms. In Psalm 145 and verse 3, the sweet singer of Israel exclaimed, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable." I'm privileged today to serve a great God. A God who in the beginning created the heaven and the earth. Who said, "Let there be light," and there was light. As the psalmist said in Psalm 33 and verse 9, he spake, and it was done. And so we can sing, "How great thou art." And we can be reminded of how small and little we really are. The God who made the light made two great lights and set them in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. My family and I were privileged to be in the path of the total solar eclipse. And as I was among the masses of people looking up into the heavens, a passage came to my reminder in Psalm 8 and verse 3 when the psalmist said, "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" How mindful God has been of us. Light in the scriptures comes to represent right. Good, truth. But darkness comes to represent evil and sin and error, that which is false and opposed to God. When God made the light, he divided the light from the darkness. And so there is a separation between right and wrong, good and evil, truth and error. Light comes from God. As the Bible teaches that God is light. God the Father is described in James chapter 1 and verse 17 as the Father of lights. The Apostle John in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5 said, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all." Think about that. God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And so he is wholly light. He is entirely light. But as the Bible talks about God being light, the word of God is set forth as light. We're familiar, no doubt, with Psalm 119, where the psalmist talks about the law of the Lord, the word of the Lord. And he said in Psalm 119 and verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, when Paul addressed the church at Corinth, he said, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." And so the gospel, the word of God, is light. When Paul wrote Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 10, he spoke of life and immortality being brought to light through the gospel. And so God is light, the word of God is light, and Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is represented as light. He was prophesied to be the light of the world in Isaiah chapter 9, in verse 1, "Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan and Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." Notice that he speaks of future events as if they've already been accomplished. He speaks in the past tense. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. How could the prophet speak of future events as though they were already accomplished? As Isaiah in chapter 46 and verse 10 says of the Lord, "Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Jared read to us the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy concerning Christ just a moment ago from the book of Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 through 17. We saw where light came into this world in the person of Jesus, how that the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. In Luke chapter 2, when Joseph and Mary were at the temple to present Jesus in accordance with Old Testament law, we're introduced to a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, a just and devout man who was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Bible says he took up Jesus in his arms and blessed God and said, as recorded in Luke 2 and in verse 29, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people, Israel. Jesus came as a light to lighten the Gentiles. John, the forerunner of Jesus, bear witness of that light. In John chapter 1 and in verse 4, John reports, In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. In John chapter 3, beginning in verse 16, we have recorded the golden text of the Bible, as it's often referred to. Perhaps the first passage that many commit to their memory. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Notice what follows that statement. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Notice in verse 16, he talked about the fact that God sent his only begotten Son. And again in verse 17, for God sent his Son into the world. And then verse 19 says that light is come into the world. And so when God sent his Son into the world, he sent light into the world, into a sphere of darkness. Jesus is the light that has come into the world. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. In John chapter 8 and in verse 12, Jesus spake, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And then in chapter 9 and verse 5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. In John 12 and in verse 46, Jesus again says, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. God is light, his word is light, and his Son is light. And the Bible teaches that you and I, as the Lord's people, are to be light. In the Matthew account of the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 14, Jesus plainly said, in what is sometimes referred to as the similitudes, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I like how Luke records this in Luke chapter 11, beginning in verse 33. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. And there are a number of passages in the New Testament which appeal to us as the Lord's people to be a people of light. Like Romans 13:12, where Paul said, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." When Paul wrote the Ephesians about their walk, he said in Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 8, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." He said to the Philippians in chapter 2 and verse 15, "That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." The church at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 5 was instructed, "Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness." Peter addressed scattered saints in 1 Peter 2:9, saying, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." And the first epistle of John in 1 John 1 and verse 7 says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin." And so thus far we appreciate that the God who in the beginning created the heaven and the earth, who said, "Let there be light," and divided the light from the darkness, who made two great lights and set them in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth, is light. That his Son is light, that his Word is light, and that as Christians, children of God, followers of the Son, that we are to be people of light. Now, how do we let our light shine? How do we, as Paul said to the Philippians, shine as lights in the world? One way we do that is by taking heed. Remember back in Luke 11 and in verse 35 when Jesus said, "Take heed therefore that the light which is in thee be not darkness." My family and I were privileged to be in Crescent City, California. And Alicia and I were given a personal tour of a lighthouse at Battery Point by the lighthouse keepers, and it's their job to keep the light on. And they said that were the light to go out, that there'd be several people around that'd be calling, asking, "What's the problem? How come the light's gone out?" And I have to take heed that the light which is in me be not darkness. I need to be on guard. I need to keep the light on. And should my light go out, I'd hope that there'd be those who would come to me and say, "How come the light's out?" Take heed to keep the light on. Another thing I can do to let my light shine is to follow Christ. In John chapter 8 and in verse 12, we learn that Jesus is the light of the world. And Jesus said, "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." You know what it is that causes the moon to shine? It reflects the light of the sun. How do we let our light shine? How do we shine as lights in this world? By reflecting the light of the sun, S-O-N, and that's Jesus. By following him. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 21, Peter said, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." Sometimes I don't know where to go. I don't know which direction to turn. I follow his steps. "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." You see, when I begin to follow afar off, or I'm out of step with Jesus, what happens? Things become dark, don't they? You see. And so, we shine as lights in the world by taking heed that our light doesn't go out, by following Christ, but also by casting off works of darkness. In Romans chapter 13 and in verse 12, and Paul appealed to the saints at Rome to put on the armor of light. He said, "Cast off the works of darkness." You can't put on armor of light and have yourself adorned with the works of darkness. And so you have works of darkness as opposed to armor of light. It'd be like the contrast between the fruit of the Spirit and the works of the flesh. In Galatians chapter 5, 19 through 22. There are things that we're to put off and to put on. Just like when Paul wrote the church at Colossae in Colossians chapter 3 and discussed being risen with Christ. When you're risen with Christ, he said in verse 8, "Put off all of these." And he speaks of earthly members such as fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry, verse 5. Those are works of darkness. He mentions anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication, lying. He said, "Put off all these, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds." Colossians 3, 5 through 9. But as you put off all of these, you cast off the works of darkness, you put on the armor of light, you put on the new man, verse 10, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And in verse 12 he continues, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, vows of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, longsuffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness." When we put off these works of darkness, we put off the old man, and we put on the armor of light, we put on this new man, we're letting our light shine. We're shining as lights in this world. What else can we do? We can have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Like Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, remember, he said in verse 8, "You were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." And when you back up to verses 6 and 7, he said, "Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them." Partakers with who? The children of disobedience. Don't be partakers with them. Don't have fellowship with them. But rather in verse 10, proving what is acceptable under the law. Do what is acceptable. Do what is right in his sight. And then verse 11 adds, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." That's how we let our light shine. And as the sun was eclipsed by the moon, sometimes our light is eclipsed, isn't it? Because of having fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. And instead of light, day is turned to night. In 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14, when Paul talked about the fact that there was to be a separation from evil, he said, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" Would to God each of us would make application of that in our individual lives. That when it comes to the friends that we choose and our associates and those that we partake with and have fellowship with, that we think about the force of that last sentence, "What communion hath light with darkness?" Something else we can do to shine as lights in the world We can be as God is. We learn from 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. And John would appeal to us in 1 John 4 and verse 17, as He is, so are we in this world. As God is, so are we in this world. If God is light and in Him is no darkness at all, how are we to be in this world? We're to be light and there is to be no darkness at all in us. That's what it means to be godly. That's what godliness is all about, being like God is. And we're to live godly in this present world, Titus 2 and verse 12. We are to add godliness to our faith. Peter talked about in the first chapter, 2 Peter. What does it mean to be godly? To be like God is in this world. But also, we can let our light shine and shine as lights in the world by loving the brethren. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 9, John said, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. There are some who have allowed their light to be eclipsed by hatred of their brethren. When I have a bad attitude toward my brother, then I'm not letting my light shine. I can shine as lights in this world by walking in the light. 1 John 1 and verse 7, John said, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. To walk in the light. And he had just talked about the fact that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. And so to walk in light is to walk in God, to walk as He is, without any darkness at all in us. To walk in light would be to walk in Christ, who is the light of the world. To walk in light would be to walk in the truth, as God's Word, the truth is light. And He said, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. And so if I'm walking outside of the light, I'm walking in darkness, and I claim to be at fellowship with God, then I'm a liar. You see, the truth is not in me. Are we walking in the light? Another thing we can do to shine as lights in this world is to hold forth the word of life. From Paul's letter to the Philippians in chapter 2, 15 and 16, when Paul said that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. He didn't put a period there, but notice the continuation. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Did you know that you could run in vain and you could labor in vain? We can if we don't hold forth the word of life. Holding forth the word of life is how we shine as lights in the world. And notice the depiction of the world. Crooked and perverse. But we're not to be crooked and perverse. We're to be blameless and harmless. We're to be the sons of God without rebuke. You see, we shine as lights in the world by holding forth the word of life. Just like the Statue of Liberty on Liberty Island in New York Harbor. We're to hold forth the word of life. And so, God is light. His word is light. His Son is light. We are to be people of light. And we let our light shine by taking heed, by following Christ, by casting off works of darkness, having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, being as God is, loving our brethren, walking in the light, and holding forth the word of life. As the Scriptures often talk about light, there are many songs in this book that we might think of as songs of light, like Bright in the Corner Where You Are. Don't let your light burn low. Be a light for Jesus. Ye are the light of the world. Is your lamp still burning? Walking in the light of God. Walk in the light. Stepping in the light. Light of the cross. There are lights by the shore. Light in the valley. If the light has gone out, send the light, sunlight, heavenly sunlight. We might take time to call attention to words from just a sampling of these, like song number 82. Do not wait until some deed of greatness you may do. Do not wait to shed your light afar, to the many duties ever near you now be true, right in the corner where you are. Just above are clouded skies that you may help to clear. Let not narrow self your way debar, though into one heart alone may fall your song of cheer. Right in the corner where you are, here for all your talent you may surely find a need. Here reflect the bright and morning star. Even from your humble hand the bread of life may feed. Right in the corner where you are. Right in the corner where you are. Right in the corner where you are. Someone far from harbor you may guide across the bar. Right in the corner where you are. It may be in your home. It may be in the community. It may be at school. It may be at work. Right in the corner where you are. Don't let your light burn low. Oh, would you be a blessing true? As on through life you go, be constant in God's service here. Don't let your light burn low. The world is groping in despair. God's love they do not know. So live to guide them to the right. Don't let your light burn low. The loving Savior needs your aid in letting sinners know salvation's free who will may come. Don't let your light burn low. Don't let your light burn low. Don't let your light burn low. Be constant in God's service here. Don't let your light burn low. I'd like to share with you a little story. A captain was attempting to bring his boat to the Cleveland Harbor one very dark and stormy night. The waves rolled like mountains, and not a star was to be seen in the clouded sky. The boat rocked on the violent waves as the captain peered through the darkness for the sight of a signal light by means of which to guide his vessel to safety. When he finally spotted a single light from the lighthouse, he turned to the pilot and asked, "Are you sure this is Cleveland Harbor?" "Quite sure, sir," the pilot replied. "Then where are the lower lights?" The captain continued. "Gone out, sir," the other man answered. "Can you make the harbor?" the captain asked anxiously. "We must or perish, sir," the pilot replied. But despite his strong heart and brave hand, in the darkness he missed the channel. With a resounding crash, the boat piled up on the rocks and then settled slowly to a watery grave. That story inspired Philip Paul Bliss to pen one of his most popular hymns. It's song number 527, if you open your hymn book to that number. 527, which says, "Brightly beams our Father's mercy from the lighthouse evermore, but to us he gives the keeping of the lights along the shore. Dark the night of sin has settled, loud the angry billows roar. Eager eyes are watching, longing for the lights along the shore. Trim your feeble lamp, my brother. Some poor seaman tempest-tossed, trying now to make the harbor in the darkness, may be lost. Let the lower lights be burning. Send a gleam across the wave. Some poor fainting, struggling seaman you may rescue. You may say." Nicholas is going to lead us in that song.
Number 527. Brightly beams our Father's mercy from the lighthouse evermore, but to us he gives the keeping of the lights along the shore. Let the lower lights be burning.
maybe those in this audience who have not yet become a follower of the light. Jesus, the light of the world, invites you to come unto him. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, Matthew 11:28. Would you decide today to take up your cross and follow after Jesus? Would you turn from darkness to light? In the words of Acts 26 and verse 18. We would appeal to you in the language of Colossians 1 and verse 13 to be delivered from the power of darkness, to be light in this dark world, to put on the armor of light as you cast off from you the works of darkness, so that you don't have to spend eternity in a place of outer darkness, Matthew 25:30, but you can be a resident, an inhabitant of that wonderful city of light. As John said in Revelation 21:23, the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof, and all the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And in Revelation 22:5, there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. The Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. One reason eternal torment, everlasting punishment will be such a dark place is because God will not be there. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we can assist you in being baptized, we'll take you to a place of water, that you might rise from the waters of baptism to be a new creature in Christ, to shine as a light in this world. Maybe you've already obeyed the gospel, but the light has gone out. You've not kept the light on. The Master will take care of the great lighthouse. It's up to us to keep the lower lights burning. And if you need help trimming your feeble lamp, dear brother, we're here to help you with penance and prayer. As together we stand and sing, won't you gather?